If you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 128. It's going to be our study this morning. We're here for a couple reasons. As you fight with your kids on the sofa right now to get that passage opened up, I'll give you a second and tell you a couple of the reasons why we're here. One, this is a psalm of ascent. That means it was a song that was sung during the holy times in Israel's life. So this is a very appropriate place to be on Palm Sunday. This would have been a song that Jesus and his disciples were singing as they made their way to Jerusalem and while they were in Jerusalem. But we're here for a second reason, and this is probably more the reason I chose to come here, and that is it's a psalm about the blessing of family life. There are many great and new realities that we're facing right now during this challenging time. Last week, Pastor Trefscar dealt with probably the biggest one, which is fear. But there's a second one, which is family. Most of us are in quarantine with family members. For some of us, that's other believers that we love. For some of us, it's people that are not believers, people who are not walking with the Lord. Some of us, a few of us in our church, are quarantined alone. But I would say even those who are alone have testified that they are speaking more often to their family than normal. And so this is, a time of family where we have more opportunity, most of us at least, more opportunity than usual to influence and to spend time with family. And so I want to look at the second of two great family psalms. The first is 127, where it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth." And you probably are familiar with that psalm. But the next psalm is very much its twin, very much about the family, but not as famous. Spend a little time there this morning with you. So that's why we're in Psalm 128. Let's read this together. "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruits of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." Let's pray and ask God's blessing now as we study his word. Father, we do pray now that as we consider these things, you would guide us by your Holy Spirit, that you would work in our families and in our lives to draw us closer to Christ our Savior. Work in us then, open our hearts and minds, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just three simple points this morning from our text. And if you have your ESV Bible open, you probably see this, that the text is divided into three sections or three ideas. And we're going to follow that fairly simply. And since I know most of you are trying to take notes while also refereeing kids and doing other things, I've actually made them simple for you. They all start with P, the letter P, so that you can follow along. There's a posture of blessing, there is a picture of blessing, and there's a purpose of blessing. A posture, a picture, and a purpose. Let's look at each of these briefly together. First of all, you see, there's a posture that takes place in this family that is blessed by God. And you see it in verse 1. "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways." Now, I don't know what occurs to you, and kids especially maybe, when you hear us as adults speak about fearing the Lord, or adults maybe even what occurs to you when you hear those words. I think our tendency, our natural tendency, when someone is speaking about the fear of the Lord, is to think of something that is the opposite of closeness and intimacy. That we're speaking of somehow the Lord being lifted up away from us and apart from us and not being kind and not being near. Maybe even if you take it literally, fear in our culture, in our vocabulary today, means the fear of something happening, something bad, something unexpected. Is the psalmist here saying that God cannot exactly be trusted, or that we can get close to God but not too close because of the fear of the Lord? I don't think that's at all what's being said in this psalm. I think it's a very unfortunate and probably bad translation of a word here, because the word here really shouldn't be fear in our English language, but probably the word reverence. The person who is blessed, the family that is blessed here, is the one that respects and reverences the Lord. It's not the opposite of closeness with the Lord that's being shown here, but rather the opposite of pride. This is the person who humbles themselves before the Lord. This is that situation, maybe you face it or have faced it in your life, where you went to do something, maybe something very sinful, and right before you did it, you thought, I dare not do this. I dare not do this. That's the reverence or respect, the fear of the Lord that is mentioned here. It's not a bad thing. It's not a negative thing. It's not a scary thing. It is actually a grace of God. It is something he works in our hearts to cause us to reverence his name, to reverence his word. It restricts us. It keeps us back from doing every selfish, arrogant, prideful, ugly thing we might be tempted to do. It is a wonderful and gracious thing that God does in our life. Think about, as a great example of this, this is Palm Sunday. Think of how Jesus entered into Jerusalem. He was very close to his disciples. They often would sleep in the same boat or the same room. They ate food together all the time. John reclined on him at the Last Supper. So they were very close to one another. And yet we're told on Palm Sunday that the disciples took off their outer garments and laid them, first of all, on the donkey, and then some laid them on the road so that the donkey might walk across them. I think that's a wonderful picture of reverence. It's not that they weren't close. It was not that they weren't loving. It was that they deeply reverenced and respected the Lord. And that's something we very much need to understand, because that is the posture of the one here in verse 1 that is blessed. It is the one or the family that reverences, deeply respects the Lord. As I've reflected on my own life over the years, and especially in this pandemic, I've thought back time and again to the events of 9/11. For my generation, I'm 40, so I was in college when 9/11 occurred. Most of us think back to that time, and we think how our lives have changed because of it. Of course, everything at airports changed, but lots of things changed. But one of the good things that happened during that time is that the church became aware, I know I did, for the first time, really, of the brothers and sisters in Christ we had in the Middle East. We were suddenly very concerned for their protection, and maybe even more so for the salvation of those places. Missionaries, and maybe you've heard the testimony of some of them, were called post 9/11 because suddenly the church started praying about and thinking about the importance of that part of the world. It suddenly was on our radar, so to speak, on our minds. In like manner, I wonder if this moment of the pandemic can be for us another moment of positive spiritual growth. In a time in which we're living, in which life has never been cheaper, where multiple states have approved infanticide, in which people approach life more and more publicly as something that is just for you and about your self-expression, I wonder if we could use this in our church, in our lives, in our witness to others, to speak of the reverence of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, not a terror of the Lord, but the reality that life actually is fragile, that is brief, that one day we must all give account for what we have done in the body, and that our society's attempts to make it seem like there'll never be any accounting There'll never be any day of judgment. There'll never be anyone listening or caring or judging or watching. Those lies that are so much a part of everything we hear and see, may they be somewhat exposed during this time as we deal with this disease. It reminds us how mortal we are, how real death is. And so we want to pray together as families and as individuals that this time would build in us, by God's grace, a deep reverence for him. We are creatures. We are like the grass, as we say each Sunday. We grow up quickly, we fade away. But God is eternal and mighty. And so the blessed family, the blessed individual here, just as in Psalm 1, is someone who deeply reverences the Lord, not as an alternative to intimacy and friendship, but as the essential companion to walking with a holy, wonderful, mighty, eternal God. Let us say together more often, our times are in his hands, and believe it, and teach our children to believe it, that our times are in his hands, that nothing is a given, nothing is guaranteed. We come in reverence before a mighty and sovereign God, and seek his blessing and his help. So that's the posture of blessing. The blessed family is a family on its knees before the Lord, recognizing his sovereignty and then walking in his ways because of the fear of the Lord. Second of all, you see in verses 2 and 3, a picture of what that blessing will look like. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. This isn't, I don't think, a guarantee that every Christian will have this kind of family. Some of our members here, I know, love the Lord, pray for their children, pray for their families, but have not enjoyed all the realities of verses 2 and 3. It's important to remember that this psalm is what I think everyone has recognized it to be, a wisdom psalm. Verses 2 and 3 describe what is generally going to be the case, as a rule, for the family and the couple that reverences God in their home. Job reminds us that that's not always the case, that God does not slavishly tie himself to such things. He may remove these blessings or give more or less to certain families or individuals, but these verses still do give us a rule, a guide, a general sense of how God will bless those who fear him. Those who do not will realize Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Both psalms are really very much wisdom psalms. They speak of what is generally the case as God blesses his people. And so that's the picture you have here in verses 2 through 3. In verse 2, we're told, not that we'll be rich, but notice, you will eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. This isn't a promise to have everything you ever wanted. It's very much like the promise that we have in the Lord's Prayer, our daily bread, that we'll be able to enjoy the things that we work for, that the Lord in general will bless our work as we do it unto him and for his glory, that in our lives as we work, we'll experience a little bit of the turning back of the curse that took place in Genesis 3. There, you remember, God cursed our labors, made them frustrating, difficult, and unprofitable. Here, the psalmist promises that as we are blessed, as we enter into the happiness of God, some of that will be deferred. Some of that will be reversed, and we'll experience blessing in our work. We'll not just experience it in our work, but we'll experience it in our relationships. And so see in verse 3, the man here who fears God will have a wife who's like a fruitful vine within your house. The vine always in Scripture is a picture of gladness and luxury and happiness, such as a godly wife to her husband, a joy to his heart. That's the beautiful picture here. And then at the end of verse 3, your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Maybe lost on us a little bit, but in the Middle East, and some of you know this, olive trees are very slow growing. But once grown, they can last for hundreds of years. And so the picture is very appropriate here, isn't it, that the psalmist gives us. It's of these little ones that we are working on, working with, that maybe right now you have more time with than you did before the pandemic. And the Lord is saying, how are you tending these plants? Because they're going to grow up. It may seem slow in the moment. They will grow up and bear fruit. And so the olive shoots is a beautiful, beautiful picture of what the Lord is doing in our homes as we serve him and seek to teach our children. It's a wonderful picture taken all together of work that is profitable, of a wife and husband loving one another, of children growing. And even if you're beyond those years, you certainly have seen that hopefully in your own lives, or praying that for your adult children, or praying for the very relationship you have now at home with the person you're staying with. May the Lord grant it so. It is a beautiful, beautiful picture of the family in blessing and in joy. Zechariah tells us, in that day, that is in the day of the Lord's blessing, everyone will invite his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. The two together, this vine and fig tree, or vine and olive plant, are a sign and symbol of luxury, of the day of the Messiah when blessing fills our homes and lives. It is a beautiful picture. And so as we go through this time together, let me encourage you, don't just waste the time away. I know as I've been driving around over the last several weeks, I keep thinking about missing a whole period of spring in my life. And the Lord has reminded me several times now that I should not approach it that way. Rather, I should be seeking to leverage the time that has been given me, especially with my family, that I might see this kind of blessing and joy as we reverence the Lord and kneel before him. May this picture of blessing be more and more yours and mine. And that leaves us with one last thing, the purpose of this blessing. Verses 5 and 6 remind us of a very important truth that we need to remember even as we are quarantined with our families. And that is that God's purposes in the world are not first and foremost for the family. Rather, the Christian home is a means to an end. The end, the purpose of all this, is the growth of the kingdom of Christ, which knows no race or no one family, but is the joining of all of us together in worship. So notice then how the psalmist now here at the end turns his thoughts towards Zion. That is, to put it in New Testament terms, toward heaven and to the good of all of God's people. Verse 5 says, "The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children, peace," or shalom, "be on Israel." The ultimate goal of all that we do in the Christian home is the expansion and growth and beauty of Christ's kingdom. Brothers and sisters, there's coming a day when there will not be family as we know it now. Jesus tells us that in heaven, there will be no marriage. And marriage is the building block of family. It's Jesus' way of saying, I think very clearly, there will not be family as we understand it now in the new heavens and new earth. Family exists now for a time, a limited time, in order to grow and strengthen the kingdom of God. That is Christ's ultimate commitment to his kingdom. And that is why we have brothers and sisters. Even if you are quarantined today alone in your home, you have brothers and sisters here in this church that you belong to. Maybe you couldn't have children. You have children in this church through Christ because of his kingdom. This is what Christ taught all through his life. You remember that scene when people come to him and say, your brothers and sisters are looking for you. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "These are my brothers and sisters. All who do the will of the God are my brothers and sisters." And so here at the end, the psalmist looks out from the family, as it were, to the ultimate purpose of all this, that he with his family may come up to Zion, up to heaven, to glory and rejoice in God's presence forevermore. That's our purpose as families. May the Lord use these thoughts then to strengthen us in our walk together, to encourage us to reverence him, to look forward to his blessings, and to do everything we do in the home for his glory and the growth of the kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for those that you have quarantined each one of us with this morning, a family and some cases maybe friends and others. We thank you even for those who are alone that have had conversations with family over the phone. There's so much conversation going on right now, Father, as you know, and so much time together as families. May it lead to blessing. May it lead to good. May it lead to growth. When we come back together again, Father, in the months ahead, we pray that we would come back more devoted to you and to one another. For your glory and our good, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.